2 Samuel chapter 9, notice verse 1. The Bible says, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lo Debar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo Debar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shalt till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Now I want to draw your attention to verse number 3, if you would please. The Bible says, And the king said, Is there any, not yet any of the house of Saul, notice, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? I want to preach this evening on this thought, showing the kindness of God. Showing the kindness of God. You know, the word kindness is an interesting word in the Word of God. I was considering several things. Wilson, in his study on the Old Testament word study, says this, The general import of this word seems to be the full flow of natural affection of a mother for her child. It is used of the goodness and the abundant grace of God. Another commentary, the Hebrew Chaldee lexicon of the Old Testament, says that this word is used to speak of the grace, favor, mercy of God toward men. And I want us to think, as we consider here the kindness, showing kindness, it's not just kindness generally that we think of. I want us to consider kindness in this passage, which David refers to as this is the kindness of God. This is not just the kindness of men. And I want us to see that this may be different than the kindness that we consider this week. You know, sometimes people, they look at certain things, and to some people, kindness is certain things, that others, to others, it is not. But in this passage, it is clear that what David is doing here is showing to Mephibosheth the kindness of God. Now notice he says that because he knows very well that it doesn't come from him. It doesn't come from within him. Why? Because we know that the human nature is the same for everyone. That we are all the same people with a sin nature. And kindness is not naturally developed. And may I say that kindness comes from God. the right kind of kindness comes from the Lord. And if we're going to be showing the kindness of God, we have to know what it looks like. And in this passage, we see what it looks like. And so we're going to look at three things this evening. First of all, let's look at the conduct of kindness. The conduct of kindness as shown by David. Now, Mephibosheth was Jonathan's only son, as far as the Scripture tells. Jonathan's death, think about it, took place when Mephibosheth was 5 years of age. He was 5 years old. And as far as we know, that was his only son. But consider several things here. When this account takes place, Mephibosheth, by the end of the chapter, has a child of his own. So from 5 years old to now, he has a child of his own. Many years have passed since we last hear of Mephibosheth. We'll see a little later, if we have time, that basically an accident happened as he was fleeing from the Philistines, and the maid that was in charge of carrying Mephibosheth dropped him, and he became lame as a result of what took place there. But as we consider this, it's been a long time, but this is something, the reason there's something behind the kindness. But as we consider the conduct of kindness, we see several things in this passage. First of all, we see its source. What is the source of kindness? Now in verse 1, the Bible says, "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness?" Notice, why? "For Jonathan's sake." In other words, there was something behind the kindness that David wanted to show for Mephibosheth, and that was because of Jonathan. Now, we know Jonathan at this point is dead. He died the day his father died in the battle. We know, based upon the history between David and Jonathan, that they had a great relationship. Perhaps there's really no other friendship that was as close in the entirety of the Word of God, except perhaps for Christ and His disciples, between two men, and that it was with Jonathan and David. Just a close friendship. Think about the circumstance, as we've already studied, that Jonathan was, his father wanted to kill David. We remember that after the battle with David and Goliath, that Jonathan, the Bible said, the heart of David was knit with the heart of Jonathan. They were knit together. They became very good friends from that moment. And during their interaction throughout the years, we remember Jonathan made a plea to David, and he asked David that David, when he became king, because Jonathan knew, although he was being pursued by his own father, that David one day would be king. And so he asked David, when he become king, to make sure to treat his house well, his seed after him well. And so I want us to think, because now David has ascended to the throne. He's been placed in a position of authority, a position of power. I was thinking, I had some quotes earlier from a few men. I got to get my notebook here. But as we consider here, the relationship between these two men here, it is very easy to get to the place, because of power and position or the status of a person changes, to kind of forget the promises that you've made in the past. It would have been easy now, David in this position, to forget about Jonathan and this promise. Think about this. John Butler wrote, he says, "When wealth and fame and high position and honor become one's portion, too often that person forgets his friends and obligations of humble origins." Chapman wrote, he said, "Old friends, former vows are forgotten in the gain of wealth or power, or if not entirely forgotten, no occasion is sought to let the love of former days assert itself." Isn't that so true? And that sometimes in a great relationship in the past where, you kind of were the same in the same place, the same age, now things have changed. David is the king. Now he doesn't really need to, he doesn't owe anything to anybody. It would seem that he's in charge. He's in power. Why at this point would he remember anybody from the house of Saul? But here it is clear that this whole account in chapter 9 is drawn, this kindness comes from what? It comes from the relationship and the promise that was made. And David is going to keep his promise, although his situation has changed, and show kindness for who? For Jonathan's sake. And by the way, that is clearly laid out in the Scriptures, that the reason why we do things is why? Because the love of Christ is what constrains us to do things. Do you notice for the believer, it's really the same thing. Because of what Christ has done for us and because of His love for us, it constrains us to serve Him. It constrains us to live a life that's pleasing to God, to be a testimony to a lost and dying world. And so its source here, think about the conduct, it comes from a result of a past kindness and a past relationship that's been between Jonathan and a past promise that's been made between Jonathan and David, or David to Jonathan. So we see its source. But number two, we see its selection. I want you to notice verse 1, he says, "And David said, is there yet," what's the next word? "Any." Any. Now, the house of Saul had fallen so much, think about it, that David had to ask if there was anybody remaining. That is pretty significant. Why? Because Saul was king before him. And typically, naturally speaking, when a king was in a place in charge, his family grew exponentially. It was quite many of them would get, as we saw in the account, many wives and many children would be born. Now, it's never condoned in the Word of God, but that many times is what happened. Think about it. The house of Saul has fallen so low that David has to ask, is there anybody that's left? And may I say here, he is not asking, is there anybody from Saul's side of the family or Jonathan's side of the family? He says, is there anybody from the house of Saul? And may I say, if kindness is going to be shown as the kindness of God, it must be, it's an selection to anybody. Not just to a select few people. Because sometimes in our minds we think, well, I'll be kind, but it has to fit within my parameters. I'm going to be kind, but it has to fit within my list of requirements. And here David is saying, look, I want anybody, if you can find anybody, from the house of Saul. He says it again in verse 3. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul? And may I say that the kindness of God will come from the right source, but also we see the right selection. It is applies to anybody. And by the way, the Bible makes it clear that we are not to be respecter of persons. Paul many times reproved the work the church, especially at Corinth. Why? Because of segregation. And within the church, they had the rich people over here eating together and the poor people over here eating together. And there was the Jew over here. And then there was the Gentile over there. And they were all separated. And Paul said, that is not God's design. You ought to be the same to everybody. And by the way, that is a perfect picture of who God is. God doesn't show partiality. God doesn't look at a particular person and say, well, I love him more because of what he does, and I don't like this guy over here because of the way he looks. God is impartial. God doesn't look and showing kindness and showing his grace and mercy. He doesn't look at a select few. He looks to every man. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He makes it clear that God tasted death in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, for every man. You see, God does not show partiality. And if we're going to show the kindness of God, it cannot be to a select few people that we think, well, I can. It's easy to be kind for those people, but not for those. So we see its source, its selection, but number three, we see its sight. He says in verse 3, notice, well, verse 2, he says, "And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba, and when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show," notice, "the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." Now, there's two things here as we look at the sight of the kindness of God. First of all, in the sight we see this, what must be acknowledged? Now, David says here that he wants to show the kindness of God. You know what he's looking to right now? He's looking at the Lord. He's looking at how he can please God. And may I say that when we show kindness to certain people, or really as we ought to show kindness to every person, we have to understand that our sight must be set on God, not on the people. Guess why? Because sometimes the people will change and you'll get to the place where you're frustrated because why? Well, I wanted to love those people. I wanted to show my love towards the people, but they didn't show love back. Do you know what happens when you have your sight on people? You'll stop. Why? because the motivation is in the wrong place. The sight is in the wrong place. And may I say, as we serve and as we show kindness to people, we do it for the Lord. Why? Because it's the kindness of God. It's not something that comes from within us. It comes from the Lord. So in this time, we see what must be acknowledged, but we also see what must be ignored. You see, he not only did show the kindness of God, but then Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan yet hath a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? Now notice here, David doesn't say, lame on his feet. What happened to him? What's his problem? What's his deal? He doesn't even stop and flinch and say, well, he's lame. Forget about it. You see, if we're going to show the kindness of God, our sight must be set on God and ignore the people. In other words, certain disabilities or the lack of sometimes people, you try to minister to them and they don't act nice towards you. Or perhaps they don't smell very... I remember several times, I was in Ohio. I was witnessing. We were going door to door. And we went to this house, and this lady invited us in. And as we came in the house, the smell was completely... I could not stand being in there. It was very bad. She had dogs and cats. There was urine on the floor. It was disgusting. And you know what? I sat there and the pastor was trying to witness to the lady and I was doing all I could to just hold my breath. But you know, I was thinking, the pastor sat there and just kind of witnessed as if there was nothing going on. You know, it was so bad. Have you ever been in a place where you're breathing, you can taste it? And then you leave the place, it's in your clothes, you're going to smell like that for the next 3 days. That's how bad it was. It really made me feel uncomfortable. But may I say that sometimes there may be situations where we say, but see, if our sight are set on God, and we ignore what we see. You see, that's showing the kindness of God. And sometimes we'll be in situations where, and I do this, we all do this. Why? Because that's our nature. We look at someone and say, well, they don't want to hear the gospel. Well, how do you know? How do you know? I remember sometimes we make assumptions. Sometimes we look at certain people and it's like, they don't want to hear. And we turn around. But guess what? Sometimes when you actually go and actually talk to the person, sometimes they'll be the greatest person you talk to. You know, we have to be careful that when we are showing kindness and doing something, we are doing something for the Lord. When we're truly doing something for the Lord, it doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what the people look like, smell like, act like. We'll do the same. That's a difficult thing to do. But that's why it's the kindness of God. Because God does not make a difference. So if we're going to show the kindness of the Lord, we have to look at the sight. So we see its source, its selection, its sight. But we see, number four, its search. Now notice what happens in verse 4. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar. Now notice he asked the question, where is he? You know, sometimes we can stop and we can have a good thought of doing something kind, but never actually follow up with it. Ever had that happen to you? I've had a good thought, and sometimes you stop and say, well, that's a good thought. I feel good about myself now. Sometimes we think that way. But notice here, we see that the kindness of God is actually going to go a step further. It's not just about thinking about it or considering it. It's about actually searching. Well, let's find out where he is. It doesn't matter if he's lame. It doesn't matter if he's from the house of Saul. It doesn't matter anything that's happened in his life. I want to know, where is he? And he was told. And may I say that in our lives, if we're going to show the kindness of the Lord, we're going to have to be proactive in showing kindness. Proactive in following through. You know, I believe that the Holy Spirit of God speaks to our heart and tells us to do specific things in our lives. I believe that when the preaching of the Word goes forth, the Holy Spirit pinpoints something in our lives specifically that needs to be changed. But you know, the Holy Spirit of God also points out things in our lives that He wants us to do. Sometimes you see someone in need. I remember I was driving through Dover, and there was a lady on the side of the street that was it was pouring rain. We come Sunday night after church. We were coming home Sunday night after church on Route 13, and we're just before our neighborhood. This truck comes, and there's two mattresses. It's pouring rain, and the mattresses flips over, lands in the middle of the road, and it's pouring rain. And so the truck pulls over. Two ladies come out. So they're running on Route 13. I'm thinking, the Lord said, you need to, it's pouring rain. You need to. So I stopped. And I helped them put the mattress back on the truck, and then I strapped it down in the pouring rain. And I went back to my car, and then the Lord said, you got a track right there. Give them a track. So I was like, okay. So I got out, gave a track. Hello, I just want to invite you to church. A month later, they came to church. They did. Now, what if I had not listened to the Lord? You know, sometimes things don't make sense in our minds, but the Holy Spirit of God speaks to our heart, and we have to yield. We have to be proactive. As David was, say, where is he? Let's find him. Let's do this. It goes beyond the sometimes we leave church, all right, this is what I need to do. But sometimes the proactive part, the actually searching and the going through with it, many times does not happen. So we see its source, its selection, its sight, its search, but we see also, number five, its single-mindedness. The kindness of the Lord is single-minded. The Bible says, then King David sent, notice, and fetched him out of the house of Machir. Notice, he sent and he fetched him. That means he sent servants and he didn't ask for permission. Could you come with us? No. Bring him. Bring him. You know, have you ever, this happens, I'm sure, in everybody's life. You ever try to do something for someone, show kindness, and then someone says no? That's nice of you, but you don't have to do that. May I say that sometimes you go ahead, just do it. No, this is what God's told me to do. So there we go. But sometimes we'd be like, okay, you don't want it. Okay, that's fine. Well, wait a minute. If the Lord told you to do it, just follow through with it. You see, David here was single-minded. He didn't. Okay, go ask him if he wants to come and meet with me. He says, go over there, find where he's at, bring him back. You see, David said, this is what God told me to do. I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to show the kindness of God, and nobody's going to stop me. You know, sometimes we will always be discouraged along the way when we're following the leading of the Lord. I'm sure everyone has experienced that in their lives. That we will always be discouraged along the way as we follow the leading of the Lord. Don't you think the devil hates it when we listen to the Lord? Yes, he does. And in this case here, David said, look, let's put no doubt about it. He sent for him and he fetched him. He was single-minded. He's going to do this. Nobody is going to stop him. It's going to happen. He's going to show the kindness of the Lord. So we see, notice its source, its selection, its sight, its search, its single-mindedness, but we also see its supply. Notice what happens in verse 5. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Meel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely notice show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Notice here in its supply, the kindness that Jonathan is going to show is going to produce something. Notice, I'm going to restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. That's a pretty big piece of property there. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. So think about, and we're going to see in just a moment where he came from, Mephibosheth came from. But here, think about it. He is now being provided for the rest of his life because David decided to show the kindness of the Lord. There was a supply that was met in the life of Mephibosheth. Why? Because he was in need. And we're going to see that in a moment where he was and the actual place where he was. But think about not only in land, but he would eat at the king's table for the rest of his life. Wow, that's a pretty good deal. I mean, kings back then didn't eat like we eat today. Now, we eat well today compared to most people in the world. But kings ate like it was a feast every meal. It wasn't snack like they didn't have cupboards and went in for snacks. They had a table served. They had their choice of what type of meat slice they wanted. It was all cooked for them. I mean, this was lavish living. But think about it. That's what the kindness of God brought. It brought supply. And may I say that as we show the kindness of the Lord, we may not know what takes place in that person's life, but it may just be that God is answering their prayer by sending you. And it may just be that God is doing a work in their lives, and just it happens that you come along the way as you're listening to the Lord, and that kindness supplies something in their life that they needed, whether it be encouragement, whether it be anything in their lives that they were struggling with. God brings you along, and that kindness, why? Because it comes from God towards a person who will meet and supply a specific need. I remember when I was in college, I interned in Ohio again after my freshman year in college. And I went to this church and they gave me $50 a week for gas and food. And I got to start college next semester. But the Lord led us to go there. And so at the end of my internship, was 2.5 months, I said, Lord, I need, and I prayed for a specific amount before I go to college. That's the amount I need. And I prayed, and then that last day, last Sunday when I interned there at Blue Lake Bible Church, they took up a love offering, Sunday morning and Sunday night. And it was exactly what I needed to pay for my whole semester. May I say that people in that church, people in that church showed their kindness and it met the need. Do we understand why it is so vitally important to listen to the Lord? Because in our lives, when we show kindness, the Lord tells us to do something, it's going to meet some need. Well, why do you want me to do that? Don't worry about that part. God's got everything under control here. He knows what's going on. And if He's telling you to do something and show kindness, His kindness, go ahead and do it. Because you may never know how those needs are met. And I'm sure those people in the church never knew what I prayed for. I don't even need to share with anybody. They didn't know what I prayed for. They didn't know what I needed. They didn't know what the amount for the semester was. They didn't know any of that. But God knew it. You see, this is why this is the kindness of God. This is what God does. And so you stand back and we're just able to say, wow, we're rejoicing in what God has done. So we see its supply, and lastly, we see its sufficiency. Now, he goes on to say here in verse 7, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore, all thy sons and thy servants, shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Notice, always at my table. Now Mephibosheth replies, what is thy servant? I'm just a dog. Why would you do this to me? May I say here that then the king said, I have given all that pertaineth to Saul, to you. Do you see here that it gets to the place where David is rejoicing in the fact that he's yielded to God, that he's kept his promise that he made to Jonathan, that he's honored God, that he's showed Mephibosheth the kindness of God. And here, every time Mephibosheth says something, every time he says, I'm not worthy, am I a dog? He bows himself, he says, I'm a servant, I'm not worthy. Why is this happening? David doesn't acknowledge that. He just does what he does. In other words, there is a sufficiency for David. David does not need the compliments from Mephibosheth. He's not saying, well, okay, yeah, well, it's our... No, he doesn't say anything. He ignores all of that. Why? Because it doesn't come from him. It comes from God. And may I say, if we do things for the benefit of being praised ourselves, we're doing it for the wrong reason. David didn't do what he did to be praised. He found sufficiency and just giving Mephibosheth what was rightfully his. And what nobody else in the kingdom thought he deserved, because of who he was associated with. So we see the conduct of kindness, but very quickly we see the condition of Mephibosheth. Now, in his conditions, there are three things we see. First of all, in his condition, we see his lineage. He's from the house of Saul. Saul, from what we know, we would say, good king, bad king? Bad king, no doubt about it. I mean, let's think a little bit about Saul. Saul started off good. He disobeyed the Lord, offered a sacrifice without Samuel, then blamed the people, basically lied about whose fault it was for not obeying the orders of the Lord. Then later, he got jealous. Think about it. His whole life he spent as a jealous king chasing a dog, chasing a flea. He dedicated his whole entire life and energy in his kingdom, although he had many other responsibilities, because of his jealousy. His jealousy pushed him to kill over 80 priests, 80 men of God. Why? Because of his hatred for David and the fact that these people helped David. Then later in life, when he was supposed to ask God for leading in victory over the Philistine, he went to a witch and asked the witch what would happen. This is the kind of man he was. This is the kind of reputation he has. And think, Mephibosheth comes from that lineage. He comes from a lineage of disobedience. He comes from a lineage of a man that's been a hater of the people of God. And that's the condition he's in. We not only we see his lineage and his condition, but number two, we see his lameness. By the way, his lameness, we know he got dropped, but may I say he got dropped fleeing the Philistines after his father died. And may I say that ultimately that is the house of Saul's fault. Why? Because he died because of disobedience. He died because he was rejected to be the king of Israel because of his disobedience to God. And as a result of his disobedience, Mephibosheth became lame. The Bible says here, at his feet. That means both. It wasn't just one leg. It was just one foot. It was both feet. He was lame. He could not walk like a normal person. But we also see in his condition his location. The place that is mentioned here, Lo Debar, means this: pastureless. That's what the name means. That's where he was living, in a pastureless place. There was no greenery there. It was a barren wasteland. From the house of Saul, he was what? A Benjamite, right? As a Benjamite, these were the people that were the closest to Jerusalem. You remember, Jerusalem was in the territory of the land that was allotted to the tribe of Benjamin. So really, Mephibosheth should have been right by Jerusalem. But he was the furthest place away, in a pastureless place, waiting to die. That was his condition. His lineage, his lameness, his location. But may I say, in all this, we really see a picture of Christ here. More than anything else. There's tremendous pictures of Christ throughout the Word of God, but there's none. There are great, such as Isaiah chapter 53, Abraham and Isaac offering his son Isaac. I mean, there are many pictures of the Noah's Ark. I mean, there are many pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this here is also a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because David the king. David the king, think about it, sought after a lame man. who was in a wasteland from a lineage that was not pleasing to God. That reminds me of something. It reminds me of my lineage. It reminds me of my lameness. It reminds me of my location. You see, the Bible makes it clear that we were away from God, far removed from God. We were sin sick. Our souls was appointed unto death. And after this, the judgment. And our lineage was the lineage of Adam and his sin. And his sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we all come short of the glory of God. That's our condition, all of us. But Jesus Christ David represents Jesus Christ, the King, who, by the way, Mephibosheth didn't seek after David. David sought after Mephibosheth. And by the way, we see that example in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve were hiding from who? They were hiding from God. Why? Because God was searching for them. And by the way, none of us were searching for God. God was searching for us. And throughout all this, we see a beautiful picture of Christ in all of this interaction as, by the way, David, the king, does what he does for Mephibosheth. Why? Because of Jonathan's sake. And may I say that God does for us and shows us kindness, grace, and mercy because of Christ's sake. You see, we haven't earned a position at the king's table. We don't deserve to be at the place or the king. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve the land. We don't deserve the mansion. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve a place with our heavenly Father. But may I say, for Christ's sake, as here for Jonathan's sake, because of the promise that through his death on the cross we could have an eternal home in heaven, because of the promise that was made, then we have access to the table of the king. And by the way, this is a place of sufficiency. You see, Mephibosheth could offer nothing in return. Could he? May I say that we can offer nothing in return for what God has done for us. He's given us everything and we've given him nothing. Oh, I have done so many things for the Lord. No, you haven't. Not like what he's done for you. He's laid down his life for you. He paid for your sins when you weren't even thinking about even needing somebody to pay for your sins. His sights were set on you when we were all in the wasteland in a pastureless place in need of redemption. The king sought after us. So, really, this passage, as we consider this, showing the kindness of God. This shows us not only the kindness of David, the kindness we need to have for one another, but it shows us the greatest kindness that's ever been shown. It shows us the kindness of the Creator God of the universe. And may I say that this should show us and say, you know what? That's where it all comes from. Why do I show kindness for somebody else? Because God has shown kindness to me. You see, everything comes from God. It begins with God. You know, there are many moral people today that are doing kind things. But may I ask, why are they doing those kind things? Why are they doing those kind things? For many of them, it's a plaque in a building. This person did this. For many of them, it's so their name would be mentioned. People do kind things for certain readers to get something back. But may I say here that none of that is in this passage. The kindness of God. And I have a question for us today. Are we showing the kindness of God? I'm not asking you if you're a kind person. Most people are kind people. I'm asking, are you showing the kindness of God? And if we're showing the kindness of God, it's going to have the right source. It's going to have the right selection, the right site, the right search. It's going to be single-minded. It's going to provide supply. And it's going to be sufficient. And may I say that it will always answer a need. Can you imagine that need that was met in the life of Mephibosheth? He wasn't even dreaming of that. To him, in his mind, that was lost forever. No hope of ever regaining it. David's in power. He's already established himself. Things are going well for him. No considering for Mephibosheth. But no, David thought of the house of Saul. And we have to examine our lives and say, am I as David? Am I as Christ, showing this kindness to all? To people even that don't even want it? Don't ask for it? That's the kindness of God. Let's ask the Lord to help us this evening.